Welcome to the Happy for College Athletics Podcast. My name is Warren Croxton, Assistant Sports Information Director. Please subscribe, rate, download, and listen to the podcast on iTunes by searching for Happy for College Athletics. You can also listen to the show on Podomatic.com. This podcast is created for fans of Happy for College Athletics to get to know some of the great student athletes, coaches, and administrators in the athletic department. This episode of the podcast features men's soccer player Sam Yarish. Much has changed since Sam's first appearance on the show. The men's soccer team went to the NCAA Elite Eight for the first time in school history, winning a program record 16 games in a row during that season. Yarish has won a plethora of postseason awards, including several All-American and Academic Awards. In this interview, the senior reflects upon the great season that was and discusses a great passion of his, Disney World. Here's how the interview went. First off, thank you for being the first athlete to appear on the podcast for a second time.
Absolutely.
Last time when we spoke, it was right before you were named Player of the Week.
Mm-hmm.
Not much happened after that, right?
No, nothing.
Now that you're a little bit further removed from the season, have you had any time to kind of reflect on the wild season that was?
I've had plenty of time to reflect on things. You know, it's obviously, and I think any graduating senior will say the same thing, that it's extremely bittersweet. You know, I mean, so looking at it two ways, obviously, you know, bummed not to go on and win a national championship, which, you know, we all felt that we had a legitimate claim to that. You know, we had a great year and a great team, and, you know, things are, you know, it's tough looking back on it and saying, you know, wow, we didn't go on and win when, you know, this was our, I mean, obviously my best shot in 4 years, but, you know, you never know when you're going to have a group of guys like that again. You know, it was the best season in the program's history, arguably, I guess. But so in that sense, just purely soccer-wise, definitely bummed about that. Now, obviously, being a little bit removed from everything, you know, so you know, happy and thankful for everything that's kind of come both my way personally and you know, more importantly, our team's way. I mean, my teammates have gotten some pretty amazing awards as well, and you know, I just kind of happened to get lucky being in the right place at the right time for a lot of those plays during the year, and you know, get a lot of recognition for it. But you know, zero chance any of that happens without all of those other guys, and I really mean that. It's you know, guys like, you know, obviously Will and Colin and Brady and, you know, all those guys, you know, score lots of goals and get a lot of recognition. But, you know, guys like Tijon and, you know, Bedfield and Michael Carr and you know, everybody, you know, obviously our whole back line, you know, all the guys that have played parts in, you know, that season. I mean, you know, that legitimately, honestly, could not do, none of us could do any of it without everyone else. Definitely a collective effort. So just really looking back on it, that's probably my biggest takeaway. Just very thankful to be able to have been a part of that. You know, the awards are awesome, and I won't say that I'm not really excited about them. They're great, and I'll remember that for the rest of my life. But, you know, biggest thing was being able to be, a, you know, just one kind of cog in the machine, you know, for that kind of a season. It was pretty amazing looking back on it, for sure.
I know it's really hard, but is there one particular game this season that kind of stands out?
There's probably three, right, that I would really pick. I'd pick the Montclair State game because I believe, and I could be wrong, but I believe that that's the only time for the 4 days between Montclair State and Johns Hopkins, and that was like the fifth game of the year, that I had ever been below 500 here. And I want to double check that, but I believe that's the only time, at least the only time I can remember. And like, there was, that was basically like, it, you know, it could have gone down the toilet after that and we could have fallen apart, or we could have rattled off 16 straight and, you know, made it to the Elite Eight. And we all believed the entire time, even at that point, that we had the capability to do that. It was just a matter of like, were we actually going to figure out how to score? Were we actually going to stop letting up goals? That one definitely stands out. And then Johns Hopkins, Dickinson, obviously the Centennial Final. You know, to be able to cap 11-0 season with a pretty outrageous free kick goal with 20 seconds left in the game from Will. That was an unbelievable experience. And then St. Lawrence, I mean, kind of, I mean, obviously Oneonta too, that game, you know, is to be able to play an Elite Eight game was awesome. But St. Lawrence really stands out because that was the first time that we, like, on the run, that we had played someone that we weren't really sure about necessarily, about whether or not we were better than them. You know, maybe not confident, maybe the underdogs, again, still even at that point in the year, a lot of people, you know, that coach had talked to and that we had talked to were kind of thinking that they were the better team coming in, even though we were at home and we had won, you know, 15 games in a row and everything. You know, that and to be able to go out there and really put that game away, you know, not easily by any means, but, you know, confidently, that was pretty awesome.
Being that you're a senior, what's the one thing that you're going to miss most about next fall when you realize you're not going to be going out there on a soccer field?
That's the one thing I'm going to... I don't know if I honestly can say one thing. You know, just, like, celebrating wins, you know, with your teammates, like, just on the field and the whistle blows and, you know, you win a huge game, like Franklin and Marshall, for example, when they were number one in the country and undefeated when they came in and we beat them. You know, like, that feeling is going to be extremely tough to find. Like, you know, I'll be able to play soccer. I'll be able to compete even, you know, at as high of a level as I kind of would want to, you know, anywhere from kind of rec leagues to, you know, pretty competitive men's teams. But it's never going to be the same as, you know, that much, like, you know, everybody caring that much about a game. You know, and that wasn't even, like, we didn't win a title for that. We didn't, you know, it didn't really mean a ton. Like, it, obviously, that's a lot. It meant a ton, but,
right,
like, it didn't have, like, if we had lost, we'd have just gone on to the next game, and that would have been that. But, you know, that kind of feeling, I think, is the one thing that I'll never be able to recreate. And that's probably what I'll miss most.
If someone were to look at your bio and they would go through all your career honors, there's a lot. It's a very long bio.
Mostly from this year, but yeah.
Yeah. Is there one particular thing that you're maybe most proud of?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's obviously everyone's goal to, you know, to contribute as much as they possibly can and all that. I mean, it was definitely something that I dreamt about to be able to say that I was an All-American. That you know, really means a lot. But I think maybe even, like, looking back on it, maybe even more so, like, you know, to be Conference Player of the Year and Scholar Athlete of the Year, like, that's something that really meant a lot. You know, it's there's a lot of really, really talented soccer players in our conference. And, you know, I happened to have a great year, and that was awesome. But to be able to be named both of those things, you know, just really, really, really thankful for that. And really does mean a lot. I mean, I think I'm really proud of that, looking back on things classroom. But
okay, so now that we can be honest with each other, the real reason why I had you on for a second time is I was told through the grapevine that you were a huge Disney World fan.
Yes.
So
yes, big Disney World fan.
Let's go back to, how did this whole thing start? What made you become such a huge Disney World fan?
Well, I don't know if I really had much of a choice about it, to be honest with you. I mean, that was kind of where my family would go, you know, every year, more or less, growing up, probably from when I was 3 to, like, 18 years old.
Wow.
Just about every year. And if I didn't go every year, it kind of got made up by a couple of years. I went twice for soccer things. You know, my friends and I would play in a 3v3 tournament, which, you know, we had, like, 6 of us on the team or 5 of us on the team. And the national tournament for that was in Disney World, so I went to that for a couple of years. We had a tournament when I was a little bit older that was down in Disney. So, you know, there were a couple of years that I went twice, or, you know, some of those years I only went once, or some I didn't go at all. I've probably been... This is a little bit embarrassing. Probably 15 times, 16 times, maybe. I'm 21. Probably 16 times.
So, let's get into things. What's your favorite park? You know, what are some of your favorite things about about your one particular park?
Sure. That's actually a little bit harder of a question to answer now that I really think about it. What's my favorite park? Probably Epcot. I really like Epcot, I would say. I mean, like Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom and it was always MGM growing up, but now it's, I think, Hollywood Studios. Yeah, they're all great. I mean, everything, honestly, they're all great. And there's, like, water parks that I've never been to the water parks. I think my brother and my mom got to go at one point, but I didn't go. But I'd probably say Epcot, though. My favorite thing about, I don't know, I mean, the countries are really cool. I don't know, have you been to Disney yourself?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I went last year. My buddy got married down at Disney.
Got it. And you're now,
I
got to expose you.
I have a honeymoon set for Disney this August.
So. This August, okay. So it's gonna be hot.
Yeah,
it's gonna be hot, but you'll have a great time. That's definitely.
So I'm sure you've been down to Disney in, you know, summer, winter, fall.
Yeah.
What's your favorite season to go in?
Honestly, I really like going in, like January time.
Mm-hmm.
We went a few times right after Christmas. The vast majority of the trips have been in either December or January kind of time, or like June, July, August, somewhere over the summer.
So it's not unbearably hot.
No, it's not unbearable. I mean, August will be hot. It will be warm. I wouldn't recommend like being out at the parks from like, you know, 2 to 4 o'clock. I'd probably avoid that 1 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great nap time in there that you can take advantage of. But it'll be hot. But December, January, that time is really nice because Florida, like, it's cold enough that like you wake up in the morning and it's like 55 degrees. So it's nice and brisk when you get outside, and then it warms up during the day. But I don't know. There's like a smell to Disney World in the morning in January. I don't know what it is. It's just very memorable to me, and like I'll wake up in the morning sometimes in the spring and be like, oh, it smells like, it feels like Florida. It's a really nice time to be there.
I'm sure you've stayed all over the place. What's your favorite place to stay?
That's a tough one too. So growing up, the go-to spot was the Wilderness Lodge, which is, it's not like connected to any park necessarily. It's right across the water from Magic Kingdom. So we would like take a ferry over to Magic Kingdom, you know, in the mornings and stuff like that when we were going there. Wilderness Lodge was great. I would probably say though that my all-time favorite was the Boardwalk Hotel. It's just like it's really nice, like a little bit older of a hotel, like older in terms of the people staying there. And that's where we would stay when I was, you know, 14, 15, so, like, not actually that old, but, you know, I wasn't, like, an 8-year-old running around. But it's just, like, right in the middle of Epcot. Like, you can walk to Epcot and then take, like, a 10-minute, maybe, if that, ferry to Hollywood Studios or MGM. I'm going to keep calling it MGM because I can't get that out of my head, but you can take a ferry right to MGM and, like, it's, or you could walk down to MGM as well, but that's a little bit farther. But yeah, it's like right in the middle. So like, you know, we would go to different parks in the morning. If we went to Animal Kingdom in the morning and then came back, you know, we could walk over to Epcot and do dinner at, you know, one of the countries, something like that, or do dinner in the hotel and then walk over to Epcot for, they've got fireworks late at night a lot of the time. So that's definitely, I think, my favorite spot. And there's the Swan and the Dolphin, which are like right in that same exact area as well.
So you talked about Epcot and going to the countries. What are some of your favorite rides at Epcot?
Test Track. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. I like Mission Space.
Now, for Mission Space, do you do the easier one or do you do the harder one?
I've done both.
Okay.
I honestly couldn't really say which one I enjoy more. I mean, it's nice to not go in there and like really feel like you're getting pounded against the sea behind you. But I think they're both good. I've definitely have done them both a bunch of times. And then there's some other ones though. I mean, the Big Ball, I honestly couldn't even tell you the name of the ride. It's just always been the Big Ball for me. But, going in there, like, it takes you up, and then you go, like, backward and like downhill, like all going at you know, half a mile an hour, super slow, but like I don't know, it's really cool.
And it's an air conditioning.
It's air conditioned. That's a huge, huge part of that. Yeah.
It's really cool. It's a really cool ride. Tell how technology has changed through the years.
Yeah. It's really cool. There's tons, but.
Can I tell you one ride that I don't necessarily like?
I'm interested to hear.
I'm not a huge fan of Soarin'. I don't get the whole waiting an hour and a half to.
Too long of a wait. Definitely too long of a wait.
Like I'll wait. Like if I needed to. Granted, the fast pass is kind of prevent this. But if I was to pick a ride to wait an hour and a half for, it'd definitely be Test Track.
It'd be Test Soarin', Test Track's though.
Soarin', I can't.
No.
It doesn't do anything for me.
No, I mean, Soarin' did some great things for the park in terms of that, just because it attracts so many people, so then the wait times for Test Track went way down when they came in. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, like, the strategy, you go in, what we would always do, we'd go in, get Test Track fast passes, and then go straight to Soarin', ride Soarin' without fast passes, and then kind of be done for the day, and then go back to Test Track, use our fast passes, and then probably get back in line and ride it again. Because, the way we do it is when we go and get up super early. We're there when the park opens. We're probably in the park from, 8 to 12, and then we go back to the hotel, kind of crash in the pool, nap, whatever, get out of the, especially during the summer, get out of the hottest part of the day, and then at like 4:30 we kind of emerge from the cave and go back out either for dinner reservations or just kind of go back to another park or the same park. You got to get one of the passes when you go. You got to get a pass that kind of jumps you around everywhere. I can't remember what they're called, the like hopper passes or something like that, where you can go to like as many parks.
They have the wrist. They have the wristband.
Yeah,
now.
That's true. I'm trying to think. They did that. They put those in. I haven't been since my senior year of high school. I haven't been while I've been in college, but
had some catching up to do.
I do have some catching up to do, and I was there before they opened. There's a brand new part of Magic Kingdom that I haven't seen yet. I don't know, it's like Snow White or something, or
they have a new ride. They have a new ride. New roller coaster with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah. So I haven't seen any of that. I got to get back. I really got to get back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so when I was there, they still had. I'm trying to think about. They had these cards, and we actually at one point we had yearly passes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they like we had cards with our names on them that said this was good for a year, and you would go twice a year for some of that. But
yeah, that's what we have. We have the yearly pass because we're going back. And it's just cheaper to do.
Well, that's the thing.
Pass.
It ends up being, like, especially if you're going to be there for any extended period of time or you're going back, it's actually way cheaper to
Yeah, we're
going to
be there for 13 days.
Wow. That's like my dream. That's awesome. I don't think I ever stayed for that long. I think probably the longest was like 7 or 8 days.
Mm-hmm. You still can get it all.
Oh, yeah, you get it all.
Yeah. So let's move over to Magic Kingdom. Obviously, what are some of your favorite rides about that park? What are some of your favorite things to do there?
I mean, that's another one where you've got two kind of different sets of classic rides. I mean, like Space Mountain, Thunder Mountain Railroad. Those are two huge ones. Personally, so here's my little confession for you too. I'm not a big fan of Splash Mountain.
Whoa.
That's the thing that so many people go there and the line is so long. I hated going, especially because a lot of time we were there in the winter, so it wasn't that hot. So I would hate going and then just being wet for a couple of hours when it was like 65 degrees outside.
Hashtag personal problems.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, that makes me sound terrible. That makes me sound terrible. I'm not a huge fan. The lines are super long, just like you were saying with Soarin'. So the lines are super long. So I've only rode that a handful of times, maybe 3-4 times and all the times I've been there. But that's another thing that people really like. But and then there's like the teacups and It's a Small World and what are the other ones that really stick out? I mean like Dumbo. These are ones that are a little bit younger. And then I think out of all that though, my favorite ride in Magic Kingdom is the Buzz Lightyear ride.
Mm-hmm.
You've been on the Buzz Lightyear ride?
Yeah.
So Buzz Lightyear ride, you're walking, you go in and you get in these, you walk into these cars on a belt, right? And you know, it's two people and you've each got the laser shooters basically right in front of you, and you go through and it's got all the different characters from the Toy Story and Buzz Lightyear and Emperor Zurg or whatever his name is. And
yeah.
You shoot at the targets and then you know, go for score and stuff like that.
Is that Magic Kingdom or Hollywood Studios?
That's Magic Kingdom. Hollywood Studios, there's Toy Story.
Gotcha, okay.
And they made like a better version of the Buzz Lightyear ride.
Gotcha.
At Hollywood Studios.
That
one I would wait an hour and a half in line for.
My two Disney confessions are that my favorite thing to do of all time in Disney,
mm-hmm.
I love the Hall of Presidents. I love the Hall of Presidents because, to be perfectly honest, they just look so real. And I love.
Yeah.
I'm always.
No, that's not 100%.
I like the history behind. I'm always a history fan, and just seeing all the presidents together and having them speak and things like that. I always really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And my fiance hates it. That's her nap time when we go to Magic Kingdom. And then my other Disney confession is I hate It's a Small World. Hate it with.
Really?
With the passion, of a thousand suns. The music gets me.
I
was forced to go on it last year, and it was just, I couldn't.
That's another one that's an air conditioning ride for me.
Mm-hmm.
And like those play a very large part in Disney World. If you've been a bunch of times, like you'll understand it's, you know, the air conditioning rides are a big thing. But it's, I don't know, I personally enjoy it enough to go like once while I'm there. I wouldn't go on it again. Like I never go on it more than once, but
right.
You gotta go on it once, I think, for me.
Is Peter Pan there at Magic Kingdom?
Peter Pan is at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, that's I like that ride. That ride doesn't.
That one's pretty good.
Yeah, and then Space Mountain's obviously.
Yeah.
That's the gold standard for roller coasters.
That's the best there ever was, I think, in my mind.
And then, so is there any other thing? I mean, obviously the fireworks and Main Street are obviously two important things that you almost are kind of like the standard of.
Yeah,
of
Disney going. World. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever go in the castle? Because you can eat there, right? You can eat in the castle?
You can eat in the castle. I don't know if I ever actually ate in the castle. I've been in the restaurant.
Okay.
I don't know if I ever actually ate there, though. Maybe we went in and walked around or something. Because I have a pretty distinct memory of being in there.
Okay.
But I don't remember. Maybe we ate there. I don't know. I honestly can't recall. There's some great restaurants, actually. We can talk about restaurants forever at Disney World. There are some awesome ones. I mean, growing up, Chef Mickey's in the... what's the big... It's a big kind of triangle... Polynesian. No, not the Polynesian. It's... oh, my God. I can't believe I can't remember this. It's where, like, the monorail goes through there. And
the Contemporary?
Contemporary,
yeah.
That's exactly what it is. It's in the Contemporary, and I never stayed there, but we would go there, like, every single trip to go to Chef Mickey's, and that was, like, the best.
Who is your favorite character for the character breakfast?
Oh, that's a tough question. So that's the thing. So I was never, like, super... for all the times I've been to Disney, I was never super into the characters,
mm-hmm.
per se. Like, I like... I mean, Mickey, maybe? That's such a boring answer.
Yeah.
Mickey, maybe? Maybe Donald Duck. I'd probably say Donald Duck.
Okay.
He just... Yeah, he does it for me. But my buddy, though, one of my best friends growing up in high school, we went together to Disney World. That was when I went my senior year.
Was it for a senior trip or just for a vacation?
Kind of more vacation.
Okay.
We were there for like 3 or 4 days maybe. But he loved the characters. I like it way more than any 18-year-old young man should. And even more than that, he was like searching the entire trip for Cinderella. Like, to the point where, and it was hilarious. I mean, we were cracking up about it the whole time, but he was really on a mission to find Cinderella. We couldn't find her. And then he like, downloaded an app that, like, told you where the characters were at all times and stuff like that. So we eventually we eventually tracked her down at a dinner, like some character dinner that we had, and yeah, he was real excited. There were like a bunch of like 8-year-old girls in Cinderella dresses and Patrick. equal amounts of excitement there.
So moving along, let's move on to Hollywood Studios. What are some of your favorite parts of the Hollywood Studios or MGM for you?
I mean, there's, again, like, each park, obviously, they have, like, their go-to rides.
There's two in particular that stand out here.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah, Rock and Roller Coaster.
And then the Tower of Terror.
Tower of Terror, yeah. Those are it. Now, with the advent of Toy Story, the Toy Story ride in that park, I think that has... Probably, I would bet, like, if I had to guess, I would say that gets more people on them than, or it gets more people on it, at least, than Rock and Roller Coaster does. Tower of Terror still might hold the number one spot, but I don't even think, I'd probably even say that Toy Story probably gets more people, just because Tower of Terror, you know, it's like an icon for Disney World, but at the same time, you've got to enjoy, you know, dropping from however many stories up.
Have you seen any Twilight episodes? Twilight Zone episodes? Because I know I haven't, but it doesn't matter.
Maybe. I mean, that's the thing. Definitely the vast majority of my Twilight Zone experience is, like, walking through, like, going into that ride. Because they, like, play little clips, and, like, they, like, lock you in a room with no door kind of thing. And play Twilight Zone on, like, a TV, and... then a door opens up in the wall or whatever, and you walk through, and then there's, like, more Twilight Zone stuff, and that's probably the extent of my Twilight Zone experience.
And the really cool part is that the Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror are right next to each other.
Oh, it's pretty tough.
And then I said Space Mountain was my favorite, but Rock and Roller Coaster
That's a little... I mean,
It's like one and 1A.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a different... It's a different experience, though, right? Rock and Roller Coaster's like, you could put that at Six Flags, and that wouldn't be out of place. Or Space Mountain's more of, like, a classic roller coaster experience, I'll say.
Yeah.
Rock and Roller Coaster is very difficult to beat. I mean, I think Space Mountain might be the only one that I think I enjoy... only roller coaster I enjoy more than Rock and Roller Coaster. I will say, though, I didn't go on Tower of Terror until I was, like, 15 or 16. I was having none of it when I was younger.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I wanted no
part. I mean, dropping however many stories could be traumatic.
And my parents were like, they loved Tower of Terror, but they were like, oh, yeah, like, you drop so far and so fast. And, like, they kind of just, like, even though they loved it, they managed to scare me out of actually wanting to go on it. And then I kind of grew up, and we were there 1 year. I was like, you know what, screw it, I'm going. And then it might be my favorite ride out of all the parks.
Oh, wow.
It really might be. Just because it's still pretty new for me, for sure.
And have you gotten any good shots with, like, family members taking the picture?
I had one in my wallet, and I don't think I have it with me right now because I cleaned my stuff out. Yeah, I do. I've got a great photo, actually. It's awesome. I was there with my cousins, and it was the first time that my cousin and I, who are the same age, and we were both probably 14 or 15, 15 maybe. It was the first time that both of us had gone on it. And we went on for the first, like, together, plus, like, there's six of them in that family. We were there with the six of them, the four of my family, my parents, my brother, and then my grandma was there with us. And we all decided to go on
it. Please tell me your grandmother went on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so she goes on it. She goes on it, and then in this picture that we've got, my cousin, the cousin that's my age, red, like, so red, screaming. I'm relatively similar. And then... my grandma's, it's like me, my cousin, my grandma, and she is straight faced.
Wow.
Stone cold killer of Tower of Terror. like, just no expression, just like, I've been here before. It's
no big deal.
Too easy. it's a very funny, very funny picture, yeah.
One of the other things, one of the underrated aspects of Hollywood Studios, I love the Muppet Show. I love the Muppet Show, and I love the two old guys who just sit there and rag on the Muppets.
Yeah. No, I remember what you're talking about. Where is the Muppet Show? Because I can't remember what, like, where within the park. Can you remember?
I can't remember exactly where it is. And then right near there is one of my favorite restaurants, Mama Melrose, and this Italian place. And we're actually going to be down there for my birthday. And
really?
That's
where you're going to go?
That's going to be my birthday dinner. I love the seafood pasta dishes there. It's an Italian place, It's one of my favorite restaurants.
That's awesome.
So speaking of restaurants, you said that you could rattle off restaurants for hours. So what are some of your favorite places in all of the parks?
Well, okay, so I said Chef Mickey's for sure. Mm-hmm. The French restaurant in the country is in Epcot. That's a go-to. The food's just actually, have you ever been to that one?
The one in France, no. I've been to the one in Mexico.
So Mexico's the other one, but the one in France, especially if you're going to be there for 13 days, you really have to go. It's probably one of the dressier, if not... Not the dressiest, but one of the dressier restaurants there for sure. Just unbelievable, great food. There's another one in Epcot that's where my buddy finally found Cinderella. It's a restaurant. It's like a Disney princess character dinner or something like that. But it's great, and we were like, you go there, and like we were eating, and like fireworks went off at Epcot, and it was like right outside the window. It's right on the international thing. I just don't remember which country it's in.
Okay.
But it's in one of them, and like so the fireworks are going off over the water, and like it's really cool. And great restaurant. Mexico also, I just love the inside of that. It seems mm-hmm. gigantic when you walk in there.
Yeah.
So that's a great one. Those are all in Epcot. I mean, drive-in theater at MGM.
That's one of the places I haven't been. We were going to.
Oh really? So, oh, that's. Yeah. I mean, that might be that and Chef Mickey's. I think are definitely my two.
Wow.
Favorite. That one was awesome. They've got that. Just like I love going there on hot in the summer and like getting milkshakes and stuff like that. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I doubt the food is like anything special. Now that I'm thinking about it, but it's like my favorite place for sure. That and Chef Mickey's. Then there are a bunch of places if you go out into downtown Disney too. That's obviously more of like more of an urban area, I guess I'll say. There's one pretty famous one actually down there.
The seafood place there.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps recommending to us that's the place that you gotta go.
That's the restaurant I'm thinking of, and I can't remember the name.
Yeah, I can't think of it either.
But yeah, there's a bunch of them.
Do you do, you done Disney Quest, Downtown Disney?
I have done Disney. The big arcade place?
Yeah,
I've done Disney Quest. I remember I went, I think I've only gone once or twice. I think I've been more than once, but no more than two times. But that place, I mean, you could spend like days in there. It's like, five or six floors, just arcade games.
Yeah.
Yeah, that place is...
Making a roller coaster.
That is the coolest thing.
Yep.
Build your own roller coaster? Oh, my God. We did that, too many times.
Yep.
Way too many times.
It's a requirement, really.
Oh, that's something that's really, really cool. My mind... I mean, I remember going there. The one time that we went and I did it a bunch, we were there and I was probably... I was probably, 12. I remember it because we were on a trip for soccer. It was for one of the 3v3 tournaments that we were down there. Excuse me. And like me and like four of my friends just all like were in it together, and we did it just over and over and over again. It was awesome. It was so much fun.
Did you what about the Animal Kingdom?
It's an underappreciated part of Disney World, I would say. Again, Safari Ride. One of the best attractions in Disney World, in my book. It was like that's way up there, and also Expedition Everest, the new roller coaster, relatively new, I guess.
Yeah.
Not that new anymore.
So that was open when
that was there. Yeah, that's been there a couple times. Like, that was there for a couple of my trips. That was probably the beginning of high school for me. So it's not that new anymore.
Okay,
but I've definitely been there. Three or four times maybe that's been open.
When we went last year, one of the little tricks that we learned is that if you go in the single rider,
yeah,
that cuts down
so much time.
Cuts down the
so
wait time.
So much time. Oh yeah.
Yeah, we went on it a bunch of times. It's so good. And then when it goes backwards, it's super fun.
Oh, it's really fun. That's a great ride. Yeah, what we would do is we'd get there when the park opened, and people, I don't think they do this at any of the other places, but at, maybe they do this at Epcot, but at Animal Kingdom, they have people that like walk you into the park, basically. So like the park, they open the park, and then they've got like workers that basically like hold the masses back from like sprinting to all these places.
Has to be the worst job in Disney.
Can't, honestly, that's like my nightmare. That would be terrible. But they've got these walkers, so what we'd do is we'd go right as the park opens, and we'd go straight to Everest. Ride it like twice without fast passes, because the wait time's like 5 minutes.
Right.
And then we would get fast passes, like wait, like rest for like 15 or 20 minutes because the fast passes hadn't gone up that far. Get fast passes, go on Everest again, and then walk over to the safari and get fast passes for that, and then like go wait and go into the Tree of Life show with the bugs. What's that called? What do you know what I'm talking about? In the big tree in the very center of the park, and there's a movie, Bugs Life. Bugs Life.
Right. Okay.
Bugs Life. So yeah, there's like a show, and you just sit in there, and we would hang out and do, you know, something else, whatever else it is, until our fast passes for the safari rolled around.
Did you ever do the magic hours for whatever park had magic hours?
Oh yeah, we have it down to a pretty good system now, as you can maybe imagine. It might be a little bit sad if we didn't have to redo that many times, but so I'm trying to think. The one that we definitely went to the most were Epcot.
Mm-hmm.
No. MGM. MGM. Because I remember going to the show. What's the show? Is it? It's like a... it's like Fantasia and...
And they come in...
And there's like a big dragon at the end. And they come across in the water with the boats.
We did it last year. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I can't remember what that's called. But that would always happen. And then... we'd go to that, and then the park would have extra magic hours afterwards. So, like, half the people would leave, but then it would be us, and, like, my parents would kind of... some years my parents, like, went back to the hotel, especially if we were staying at the boardwalk, they'd go back to the hotel, and then we would just, like, run around this park, like...
Madness.
Oh, it was absolutely...
Because the waits aren't quite as long, you can go on, like, Space Mountain, because last year when we went for my buddy's wedding, there was magic hours in the day of the actual wedding, so the wedding gets over around 11, there was magic hours in Magic Kingdom, and we were on Space Mountain at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was great.
That's great. Get
off and get right back on.
Yeah, no, that's definitely one of the hidden gems of Disney. You gotta make use of the extra magic hours. It's just, it's significantly better. I mean, the whole, like, every trip is all about, like, minimizing the wait time, right? The total wait time that you have while you're there. So, like, we had strategies about where we were, because, like, we'd, like, walk to one place to get fast pass, like, Toy Story, for example, right? You walk in to the park and do the kind of same thing as with Everest. So you go in, and I don't think they had, I don't know if they had walkers there. So you kind of run in to the park, right? Go, like, get fast passes for Toy Story, then get on Toy Story without your fast passes, do the ride, and then your fast passes would be ready, and there'd be a long line, and then you get in, but the fast pass line is empty, right? So you get in and go straight back on the ride, and then walk over, because at this point there's not a long enough line for, like, Rock and Roller Coaster, so you walk over, get fast passes for Tower of Terror, and then go on Rock and Roller Coaster, and then come back, and your fast pass is ready for Tower of Terror, so then you go up in Tower of Terror, and you just, like, if you do it right, you're just going, and then there's, like, perfect times in between where you can sit down and wait, and, like, go wait on a different ride. The movie ride is great in MGM. That's one of my favorites, too. I don't even remember what the actual name of the ride is, but yeah, there's some definite strategy to
clearly
to the whole thing, and you can really do it, especially because there are so many people that have, like, never been before. or, you know, don't really know kind of that there are fast passes or don't really understand how they work, you can kind of take advantage of that and maximize your number of rides on a given day.
So you seem to have this down to a science. What are some... Oh, did you ever do the hidden... Did you ever try and find all the hidden Mickeys?
Hidden Mickeys? I found probably half of them and couldn't tell you which ones I was missing or which ones I wasn't. Which ones I had. But I remember at some point we were... one of the trips... Because I've gone with that whole group of family... Mm-hmm. With my cousins, especially a handful of times, probably 3, 4, 5 times, maybe. One year, my cousins and I were really into the hidden Mickeys. So that was, I mean, we found a bunch, but never all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, never all of them.
With 50 is a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of, there's a lot of them out there, but.
Yeah. So like I said, you have this pretty down to a strategy. Are there any little nuggets that the average fan may not know that you would recommend doing when you go down to Disney?
Honestly, like, one of the biggest is just don't sleep in. Get there before the park opens and wait, you know, and the whole kind of group of people. At Magic Kingdom, they do this whole park opening ceremony kind of thing, and it's like a little show that they put on that's really cool. And, like, and you just, it's just so much better from, like, 8 to 9 o'clock in the morning than it is, like, at any other time of the day. So, I mean, you know, we've covered just about every major one that I would recommend doing, every major attraction that I would recommend doing. But the thing that kind of pulls it all together is, you know, getting there early enough to you know, be able to kind of be part of the whole frenzy of getting in, but also, like, there's a bunch of people that wait, but it's, at the same time, it's just not as crowded as it will be an hour later.
Right.
And so you can go on, you know, whatever you want. Carousel of Progress in Magic Kingdom too. I don't know if you've been on that. Yeah, that one's pretty, I mean, it's just nice and air conditioned. That's
You know what bugs me about that ride? The dog never ages.
Dog never ages. That's it. That 100% right. There's very few holes in the story other than, you know, these people are all like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe there's more holes than that probably, but the dog definitely never ages. Yeah, no, I definitely noticed that. My dad, though, funny enough, my dad has slept through that ride so many times because we go on Space Mountain, like, you know, however many times that we can in the morning, and then go straight to Carousel of Progress and just nap through the whole thing in the air conditioning. That's kind of how it happens.
So nowadays. You usually do two parks a day, or kind of, is that kind of how you go about doing if you were getting up early, you go to one park, take a break, yeah, and go to the other?
Yeah, more or less. Okay. Especially at like the boardwalk. I don't know, I'm sure you have everything nailed down. Where are you staying?
We're doing 8 days at Port Orleans, and then the final day is at, it's either the Contemporary, I believe it's the Contemporary. My fiance has pretty much put the entire trip together, which is perfectly fine.
That's
awesome,
yeah.
I just want to be down there for 13 days in paradise.
That's fantastic.
The only thing I told her was that on my birthday we have to be at Mama Melrose for dinner.
Yes.
That's my only thing.
Fair enough.
So you do the two park.
Yeah, we definitely, it's definitely like a get up early, go mm-hmm. to the parks.
Sleep is not really an option.
Yeah, on
vacation.
It is. It just happens from like
different times.
1 to 4.
Yeah.
Like almost every single day I'll go back. You know, we'll go to the pool for 45 minutes or something and relax, and then I'll just go crash for 2-3 hours. And, I mean, my parents would probably just ignore the pool and go crash for mm-hmm. longer. But, yeah, no, it's definitely a nap-heavy time when we go. But
right.
Actually, you know what? That reminds me. So there is one actual hidden gem that I love when we're down there, and it's over near it's at the Boardwalk Hotel, but there's a miniature golf course that, it's a par 72 miniature golf course. I think it was the...
What?
or yeah, I think it's like par 70, par 71 or 72, something like that. It is like rated in some magazine as like the hardest golf mini golf course in the world or something like that. It is so fun. It's like not, there's no like, you know, windmills or anything like that in the middle. It's all just like contoured grass, if that makes sense.
Okay.
And I don't know if, I don't think it's real grass, but it's all like just contoured green. But like, you know, it'll, you know, you'll hit it, like it's impossible. You can't do well. It's really impossible, but it's so fun. It's like that, that's definitely, okay, definitely a hidden gem. Like if you're, I mean, there's some really good restaurants in the Swan and Dolphin, mm-hmm. and this mini golf is right near the Swan and Dolphin as well. So if like you go eat dinner, oh, there's a restaurant called, it's a football themed restaurant in the Dolphin.
Okay.
Really good steakhouse, like awesome, like really, really good. You go eat dinner there and then go play mini golf at night right after that, and then you can walk over to Epcot or something like that. That would be a great time for sure. Definitely recommend trying to work mini golf into your time, especially if you've got 13 days. That's what I would definitely say doing that.
So as we're wrapping up, I guess one of my final questions is, when's the next trip?
When is the next trip? That's a great question. My dad keeps joking around that we're going to go sometime soon. I don't know, probably...
It'd be a nice graduation
hopefully
gift.
That would be a great graduation gift. We went to Europe for a couple of weeks over break, so that might kind of take the place of my graduation gift. But I think probably I would be very surprised if we didn't end up going within the next 3 years. If I'm not back down there, that'd be very surprised about that. Probably not for super long, probably only for 3-4 days. But probably sometime within the
3-4 days feels like such a tease, though.
It is a little bit, but also kind of when you've got the process down, you can really do a lot more than you think in 3 or 4 days.
We, my friend and I and his dad went down, and we went to a we went to an Eagles Bucks game, and then we mm-hmm. came down Friday, and then Saturday was our Disney day, and then Sunday we went to the game, and we did it in December, so we did. I think it was Hollywood. We did the Magic Kingdom Hollywood Studios. You know, it's just a brief one day thing, and it was in the middle of December too.
Mm-hmm.
So like we came back on Monday, and it's like this is not cool.
Yeah,
not
no, cool. That sounds miserable. One day, I've never done a day. That would definitely be a tease. I'd be bummed. Like I could probably do 2 days to be able to do all four parks. That, I think, would be the minimum amount of time that I could spend there.
Because
mm-hmm. There's just so much that I love about all of them that, like, I wouldn't be able to go and not do something. I don't know, like, I mean, if I had to pick two to do in a day, I'd probably do Epcot and MGM just because they're right next to each other and they definitely have the highest concentration of rides that I enjoy.
Yeah.
But then you miss out on some big ones at Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. So I don't think I could do one day. That sounds tough. But 3 days, you could definitely do everything you want to do in 3 days.
So way down the line, when you have children, are you going to introduce them to Disney as much as you've been exposed to it?
If I could, that would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Make it a yearly occurrence?
They will. Maybe not a yearly thing. Although I will say that it gets... Like, there's like the amount that you enjoy Disney World... Starting from, call it, age 3, goes up until, like, 10 or 11, and then it goes down a little bit, for sure, from, like, 11 to 14 or 15, and then at 14 and 15, you start really enjoying it again, and, like, you know, when I was 18 and I went, I had an awesome time.
Yeah.
And, like, my parents still love Disney World, because there's nothing there that's, like, so extreme that, you know, they wouldn't want to do it or I wouldn't want to do it or anything like that. So you can really kind of do everything together. So they love Disney, and, like, I don't see any reason to stop enjoying going there.
Yeah,
so.
And since you haven't been there in a couple of years, I bet the next time you go will be probably your favorite time.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
Because when I went my senior year of high school, and I didn't go until after college. Like, so it was like a 5-6 year gap. And then when I went down for the first when I went down there for that Eagles game, it was so much fun.
So you've been there a handful of times yourself. You've been there more than you're letting on.
Yeah.
A little bit, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I went down there a lot, or not a lot, but I went down there a couple times when I was, you know, a teenager, yeah. And then I didn't go from the time I was a senior in high school to
that,
you know,
game.
a couple years ago, and then last year we went down for a week, mm-hmm. for my friend's wedding, and I was kind of like,
Gotta go back.
Yeah.
So,
and my fiance loves it. She's a huge Disney fan. So when I told her we do Disney for the honeymoon, she was like, sign me up.
That is awesome. That's fantastic.
I keep telling her, you know, the wedding's great.
It's fine, but it's one day.
I'm more excited about the 13 days.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to spend in Disney. So.
And you're not getting married down there.
We're not getting married down there, no. That gets a little pricey.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I don't know if I'd ever get married at Disney. I could totally see doing a honeymoon at Disney though. That'd be a lot of fun.
I feel like for you that's gotta be a requirement. Now.
It's going to be part of the discussion. If that ever happens in my life, that is going to be part of the discussion. Definitely a Disney World honeymoon. So.
Thanks to Sam for coming onto the podcast. Please subscribe, rate, download, and listen to the podcast on iTunes by searching for Haverford College Athletics. You can also listen to the show on Podomatic.com. Thanks for listening, and go Fords!